For SearchSAP.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to Search SAP News Roundup for June 26th, 2006. This edition, we'll have a discussion with Rod Masny, the new president of the Americas SAP User Group. Masny gives his thoughts about the latest SAP issues. He discusses his organization's priorities moving forward, as well as a benchmarking project being conducted by SAP and ASA. But first, the news. Microsoft released Dynamics AX at its TechEd user conference in Boston recently. The company is aiming it at SAP and Oracle in the mid-market. The latest release extends Microsoft Dynamics capabilities by integrating it with Microsoft SharePoint Server, giving companies access to third-party applications, including SAP and Oracle. The software maker believes its software is now so robust that its Xbox manufacturing division is switching from SAP to Dynamics AX. In other news, an SAP employee has developed a full open-source scripting environment that can be placed on a computer desktop or USB stick for SAP developers. Created by Craig Samil, the environment supports Perl and PHP, and Python and Ruby, and support for Ruby on Rails will be released as early as next week in version 1.0 of what is called scripting in a box. The package includes development tools, including MySQL open source database and Apache open source server, as well as the SAP RFC library, Perl and Python SAP connectors. Scripting in a box can be downloaded at the SAP Developer Network website. Now let's turn to Rod Masny, the president of the Americas SAP User Group, who's joining us on the phone from Europe. Rod, thanks a lot for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of my vision for 2006-2007 ASUG, as well as some key areas that we're focused on this year.
That's great. Why don't we start off with how long you've been with ASUG and a little bit about your background, that kind of the path that led you to be president?
Oh, great. I'm a global information technology architect for a company called OI. I've been a member of ASUG since 1998, and I've been a volunteer since 2000. At which time I started as a chapter leader in the state of Indiana and moved on to become a board member, a director of chapters. Last year I was the executive vice president, and today I'm the president. And I have a lot of passion and enthusiasm for the organization because from a personal perspective, it's helped me in my career growth with SAP, as well as it has brought a lot of value to my company and the things I've learned through the education program, mm-hmm. networking with professional peers, and great opportunities to influence the direction of SAP.
You've been with ASUG for some time. What can you give us an idea of how it's changed over the years?
ASUG has seen a lot of growth since my first days of participation in 1998. The first annual conference I attended, I think there were about 3,500 attendees. To this year, when we co-located with SAP and SAP Sapphire and ASUG, we had ASUG annual conference experienced over 8,000 attendees this year.
Mm-hmm.
So from an annual conference perspective, we've had exciting growth. From a virtual community perspective, ASUG.com, we've seen numbers grow to nearly 50,000 people. We've also grown the number of companies to nearly 1,700 member companies throughout North America.
Now we're after, obviously, a couple of months after the Sapphire conference. What's been the response from ASUG members about the sort of the connection of with SAP and having the conferences go side by side?
Anecdotal data on site said, why did we wait so long to join forces? Mm-hmm. Not from our membership as well as SAP and our associate members. Associate members are members of the SAP ecosystem. Installation members are SAP customers that participate within ASUG. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. The feedback so far is, example, why haven't we done this sooner? It helped to elevate the educational experience by being co-located together with SAP, as well as provide more direct contact to SAP ecosystem partners that have participated in both of our events in the past, as well as those that participated in ASUG's annual conference or Sapphire's annual event. It was also an opportunity for our members through the Influence program to experience to engage with product managers as well as SAP executives while they were on site. Traditionally, our audience, our ASUG audience, represented the tactical folks that really are trying to get the most value out of the SAP investment that their company's made. Mm-hmm. And the Sapphire audience has typically been the strategic IT leader or business leader trying to understand how to get, where they want to take SAP, where they're going with SAP in the future. And the real power of the co-location was the fact that both audiences could be there at the same time and from one company's perspective, share the learnings, share, here's how we can get more out of our SAP investment today as well as in the future. And that's a pretty powerful combo.
Will there be any additional changes, any sort of tweaking of what took place?
In April of next year, ASUG's annual conference in Sapphire will co-locate once again. There is the collaboration between ASUG and SAP just continues to grow in so many levels. And the co-location steering team and implementation team are looking at the key learnings from the event, because just like everything, there were great wins and there were things that we know we need to learn from and improve. So as we look at those opportunities, we will look at what we can improve on and make better, enhance the member experience and customer experience through this co-located event.
Now let's talk a little bit about the ASUG experience. I know a big draw is the Customer Influence Councils.
Yep.
And can you talk a little bit about what exactly that is and how does a member organization actually take part in these influence
Sure.
sessions?
Yeah. Within ASUG, we refer to the program as the Influence Program. And there are multiple levels that ASUG engages with SAP to influence the strategic direction of SAP. At the tactical level, there's the DRQ system where a customer can request a tactical change. At the next level are the influence councils. That's where a group of members come together along with an SAP product manager and talk about a specific product or specific challenge that the customer is having around a product that typically has a little more of a forward look, let's say 6 to 18 months out, and it's typically around a specific product area. The next level is much more of a strategic engagement with the influence, and that's usually done through executive exchanges. One of the most vibrant executive exchange is that ASUG and SAP are working together on is the CIO and CTO executive exchange. And the focus of that group is really on the forward-looking strategic challenges facing IT and business today. Mm-hmm. And there's an engagement at the product manager level, the product definition level within SAP, as well as at the executive level. those are the three levels that members really engage in. Then at an ASUG and SAP more strategic level, ASUG, the board of ASUG meets with SAP executives multiple times a year. We engage with SAP AG in Waldorf. We engage with SAP America in Newtown Square. And we're also engaging with the product and technology group in Palo Alto. And those engagements are designed to, as a mutual benefit and collaboration between our organizations, to really talk about what programs and services together we can work on to help increase member and customer value collaboratively.
Mm-hmm. And there's got to be some level of satisfaction for member companies to have that direct connection with, or semi-direct connection with, SAP executives.
Yeah, I think it's perceived as a value add in an organization. You know, large organizations can engage with SAP in a different way. You know, our constituency is represented by large, you know, multinational organizations, but we also have, our membership runs the small medium market, the mid-market, as well as to the Business One customer. And that's a way for, through the board, for us to represent a collective voice to SAP, which represents our membership.
Now, I wanted to move on and talk a little bit about the benchmarking initiative that I had heard about at Sapphire.
Sure.
I know SAP and ASUG have been doing this together. First off, how long has it been in place? What is it? And is it on the list of priorities moving forward for ASAP?
Yes, absolutely. Benchmarking and best practices is a key part of how ASAP believes it's in enhancing member value.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exactly right. It is a collaboration between ASAP and SAP. The program, a pilot program, was launched in 2005, and the program is just growing. By leaps and bounds. And there are two components to there's the benchmarking component,
mm-hmm.
which focuses on comparative performance and value optimization through companies that have leading or best practices.
Those best practices just were lacking out there. There really wasn't, the numbers weren't out there for companies to take. Begin benchmarking initiatives?
There are companies that specialize in benchmarking.
Okay.
And benchmarking on key topical areas.
Mm-hmm.
We believe ASUG is bringing a value to our members by having member peer companies that are both running SAP look at ways that they can enhance their best practices and identify areas where they can enhance their comparable performance by looking at themselves through the mind's eye of how peer companies are doing in specific topical areas. For instance, in HCM, what are human capital management best practices, not just from a systems perspective, but also about how you run your human capital management processes throughout your organization, and also looking at how information technology enhances that, you know, enhances the value that you're getting and performance that you're realizing through it. The other piece is best practices, which are quick hit surveys that were added in spring of 2006, which are to help develop a baseline and focus more on emerging trends.
And who's being surveyed?
The member companies.
Okay.
Our member companies. And the benchmarking effort is typically a larger effort for an organization to collect data, typically 3 to 5 man days to collect the information and then record the information. And then the participants receive a highly customized report, which is confidential, that takes the data that they've put into the benchmarking database, mm-hmm. and compares them against the pool of participants around that benchmarking initiative. Best practices are similar, but you know, it takes 20 to 30 minutes to complete a best practice survey, and the data is summarized or aggregated, and the reports are produced back. So there's, in benchmarking, you get an individual report as well as an aggregated report. In best practices, you get a view of the aggregated report across the survey population.
I'm sure it's probably obvious, but what are some of the benefits of actually taking part in this, and what do you do with the reports once the reports come out?
Well, the data is collected, and the idea is to begin to develop baselines and trends over time.
Okay.
So the idea is over time, let's take the human capital management example, trying to collect or collecting survey data from member companies, building a baseline of that information, mm-hmm. that's statistically relevant, and then returning to participate to see what things you've identified in your best in your benchmarking survey, where you've made change, and see how you've grown or improved against the companies that are running better practices, and the data is not to tell you what to do, but areas you need to go seek out improvements. The interesting thing, from my perspective, is you know we've done completed 4 benchmarking surveys in human capital management, supplier relationship management, finance, and total cost of ownership in IT, and we've seen a high interest or a larger interest in the business areas. And it's interesting, as we grow the number of participants, then we're able to not only produce, you know, a single view, but we can begin to segment by company size, or we can begin to segment by industry, and that provides even higher quality of data for the participants.
Mm-hmm.
In the best practices surveys, over half of our member companies have in some way or other participated in a best practice survey. It's kind of interesting. It points out to me the highest participation level that we've had in some of the best practice surveys are in what we consider to be the hot topic areas, enterprise services architecture and upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that's exciting, and is somewhat of a validation of what we perceive to be hot topical areas.
Yeah, we talk about ESA, and especially at Sapphire, it seemed to be on the minds of a lot of attendees and at the ASUG conference. What from an ASUG perspective, what is ASUG doing to educate customers about ESA and SOA, and are customers reaching out to ASUG to learn more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. The Enterprise Services Architecture program within ASUG is being facilitated by one of our user communities, which is an enterprise architects community.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, it's one of the fastest growing communities that ASUG has in terms of just pure registration numbers as well as participation. Through annual conference, we offered educational programs,
mm-hmm.
that helps our membership understand what ESA is all about and what it means to adopt an ESA, to begin the ESA adoption program within their companies.
Mm-hmm.
We together with SAP held an enterprise architects community meeting that offered that dealt with the 3 significant program components of ASUG that we always focus on: education, networking amongst our members, and influence. And it was Shai Agassi joined us at the beginning of the meeting, and he said he can see the growth in the community. In two in 2005, you know, it would have been a very, very small group. We had a sold-out room in Orlando of enterprise architects talking about ESA. Our ESA community is also offering very, very frequent webcasts on regarding ESA-type topics, from, you know, how do you, what does an enterprise architect do to, you know, what is Mendocino and how do you, or Duet, I should say, and how do you deploy it in into your architecture? What are, what other ESA programs or ESA technologies are you beginning to deploy within your organization? And it's a member-to-member type of community. It's a SAP ecosystem to member community. Quite frankly, it's also SAP to membership. So, you know, we see it as is an important part of the organization. And let me personalize it. It's what I do for a living. So when I look at the enterprise architects community, it's very, very important to me as the ASUG president, as well as very, very important to me as a professional, IT professional.
And is there enough knowledge out there, at least right now, among customers moving forward with NetWeaver deployments and trying to figure out whether to move forward on, with a SAP upgrade to begin sort of orchestrating ESA?
Yeah. From an enterprise architect architecture perspective, there are leaders in the space, you know, folks like Intel, Nike, Whirlpool. There are a number of those companies that are out there that are high-level participants in the community. And there's a thirst for education and how to go about developing your adoption program, as well as, you know, how you develop your roadmap. So we see a lot of enthusiasm. But we're also leveraging SAP to help us, as well as ecosystem partners, to help us really grow a thriving community. And we're appreciative of those that participate. I've seen at the Enterprise Architects community meeting that we had in Orlando, we had a good mix of ecosystem partners as well as members participating and doing presentations. So that's pretty exciting.
How about small and mid-sized businesses? We talk about ESA and NetWeaver, but these guys, you know, down in the lower end of where SAP is at least making a big push on with SAP Business One and with My SAP All-in-One. Is there really room for them within ASUG? I mean, what is the membership like at this point? And
I kind of have to laugh. It's interesting. Our membership is quite representative of the number of customers across the different tiers and levels where SAP has sales. So a large number of our customers, our members, are small, medium businesses, are mid-market businesses, and we have a large group of members that are engaged and participate through ASUG, and see it as a value to their overall SAP investment. And a number of the I came from a mid-market company, and quite frankly, it was ASUG was the place we went to get our information, to educate ourselves, to network with our peers, as well as the collective voice of ASUG through influence really represents more power than one-off companies.
What's your take on the SMB market in general, especially with Microsoft Dynamics? We're seeing a lot of headbanging between SAP, Oracle, and Microsoft in this space. Do you think SAP can really chip away at Microsoft with Dynamics? And
I won't speak to market share because I'm not capable of. But okay. I see, at least in our membership, that there is significant penetration and participation in our community from folks in the small, medium businesses and mid-market, some of our most passionate members and passionate volunteers within ASUG, and ASUG is a volunteer-run organization, are really those SMBs and mid-market companies that are trying to, just like the big companies, get the most out of their money from SAP.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they focus on the same topical areas. How do I manage my total cost of ownership, and how do I increase my return on investment? And it's my belief is we are the best kept secret in the SAP ecosystem, we being ASUG, and we can bring a high degree of value to our members, whether they're a business one customer or whether they're $100 billion multinational.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, SAP and Microsoft are very much partners, especially with Duet.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of wows at Sapphire this year and Sapphire Boston 2 years ago over Mendocino, which is now Duet. What's your take on Duet, and you know, really, how does it fit in with the rest of the SAP product set, and should companies be pretty excited about
it? If it's okay, I'll personalize it. From a personal perspective, Duet is a very, very exciting product. It's from my perspective, you have the opportunity to reach the knowledge worker, you have the opportunity to reach the executive. If you can engage them where they work, and the knowledge worker, the executive, they spend a lot of time in the office products, in their email system. If you can engage them where they work the most,
mm-hmm.
you'll capture them, and you'll be able to deliver meaningful business information to them where they work the most, and that just drives more adoption and more engagement in the kind of data that SAP provides and delivers through their back end product.
At the same time, there are some who were kind of surprised that SAP aligned itself, its software, so closely with Microsoft via Duet.
Yeah.
Was that a surprise to you, or, I mean, you have a comment to that?
Yeah, from my perspective, I think that's the power of the SAP ecosystem, is the fact that reaching people where they work and delivering high value through not always trying to build it yourself, mm-hmm. you know, not invented here mentality. I think the realization is you can be a much more powerful place, competitor in the market, if you can reach people where they work. And I think from my perspective as a customer, it adds value by being able to do that and not trying to deliver a one-size-fits-all solution. And an example of where ASUG is trying to help our members in the partner community is, once again, through the EA community, Enterprise Architects community. You know, we have had webcasts and discussions around things like Duet and how customers can prepare themselves for that and learn from other people's experiences.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to sort of look into your crystal ball for us, and it maybe let us know what do you think of the future of on-demand? SAP jumped into on-demand with CRM. There's been a discussion that maybe they would make business, move past just CRM and move into ERP on-demand with possibly Business One. What's your You have any prediction in that area? What do you think of on-demand?
I think on-demand is an exciting way for customers to learn how to realize value faster from their SAP investment. Things like CRM on-demand not only helps you get up and it helps the customer get up and running faster. It also positions them where they can move from an on-demand solution to an on-premise solution, and I'm not aware of many competitors that have that offering. And that's an example of where I think Influence works. That's one, you know, an example of an area where, you know, members and customers come together to tell SAP, you know, we need something that serves us in this way, where we can realize value and benefit faster, but also have a roadmap or a path that we can, as our needs grow, we can grow. And it's an area where I believe SAP is providing more value, and quite frankly, ASUG can provide more value to our members.
Well, Rod Masny, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
That concludes this edition of Search SAP News Roundup. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts at searchsap.com/audio.